Good morning, and this is the Bible Baptist Hour. This is Pastor Heaton. You've already been told that, I believe. And we are located in Lupton on the east side of the street. No matter which way you come into Lupton, you can find us. A big parking lot across the road from us, and a sign in the parking lot lets you know Bible Baptist Church and our service times. 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for the morning service, 6 o'clock for the evening service. And our midweek is on Thursday night. Youth time for the teenagers, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Youth time for the younger group, Thursday night, 7 o'clock. And you're welcome to come and participate in any of those. Our third and final part of this message, entitled A Good and Perfect Gift Today. And again, we'll be in Deuteronomy 32. We don't always have another verse or text that we look at, but in this case, this week, we do. So Deuteronomy 32. Don't forget, at the end of this program, our announcer will make known to you an address, how you can get a hold of us, and we would love to hear from you. We really would. I would say we need to hear from you, but some people would think that we're, begging. And you're right, we are. Hearing from you is very important. And when we started in this ministry back in 1978, 79, we used to get a card or a little slip in the mail, but we don't do that much anymore. People don't have that time anymore. Of course, you got to remember back then, where were the computers? They were owned by somebody else. So people text anymore and do kind of stuff, and we don't really get into that because that requires somebody else to have to monitor all that, and we just don't have time. All right. Okay. A good and perfect gift, third part. Today, the song Worthy is the Lamb is the title of it. In case you want to know who it is that's singing it, it's called a group called the Calvary Quartet. Hope you enjoy it. Don't forget, end of our message today, our announcer will give you some information how to get a hold of us. Thank you for listening.
Christ the Lord. So join all creation and echo the heavenly song. Sing with the angels, 100 million strong. Worthy to receive wisdom and strength, worthy of
Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. And look at verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. And he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. You can abuse the gift. To lightly esteem something means to be indifferent about it. Oh, I see a lot of that. I see a lot of that in Christianity today. And I use that word very loosely, but I see a lot of that in Christianity people today. Eh, it doesn't matter. If I'm not there, big deal. If I don't do that, so what? What makes a difference whether I don't? Just, God gave you something more valuable than a gold, and we treat it like it doesn't mean anything. To esteem something means have regards for, to value very highly. They said he lightly esteemed. He didn't hold it up very. I wonder, and I'm not asking you for an answer, but I'm wondering, where do you esteem God in this? Where's God in your equation? Have you ever contemplated what God's done for you? And then what you do with what he's done for you? Well, we sometimes are more ready to jump in to help somebody else, to go somewhere, to supply something. And when God wants something, we don't have time for him. So we oftentimes put people and things here and God's down here. What do you think of your gift? I heard Jeremy, I think it was this morning, say something. I do hear you in my office when I'm in there, so whatever you say, even if you whisper. We have OnStar in the church here. I heard him say something this morning about singing, and he was saying something about, you know, I like to hear the ladies sing, and I do too, but there's something about a men's group. It's something about that male voice in unison or in parts with somebody, with some other guys, that just does something. Like to hear the ladies sing, I do, but boy, there's something about that thing. And yet, you know what? I bet you in a multitude of churches around America, there are men who have the quality to do it, but just never do it. Galatians 5. And I think here's where the problem comes. We were discussing this the other day. I don't know who I was discussing it with somewhere, with somebody. I don't know if I was in Pennsylvania when I was discussing where I was. But we were talking about country western singers and particularly bluegrass singers, that most of them got their talent and their abilities to do what they do from the church. Most of them attend a little Free Will Baptist church or a Baptist church up in the hills of Kentucky, Tennessee, wherever that grandma gave the property for. And they went there and they played their guitar and they would get up when they first started and they would sing. And then somebody would add another instrument. Pretty soon there'd be a little group of them and they'd be singing. And they were singing good songs. You know what I'm talking about? They were singing hymns and southern type songs. We don't sing up north because they're southern. And then what happens is that somebody sitting in the church says, hey, you know, you guys ought to go down. They got the fair down here. You guys ought to sing down at the fair. So they go down to the fair and they sing. Now, just follow me here. Just follow me. So they go down to the fair and they sing. And there's a guy out there in the audience and he owns the local karaoke store. He said, you guys, hey, listen, you guys come down on Friday nights. You got free Friday nights? Come down on Friday nights. Listen, I'll pay you $100. They say, okay, you know, and they're all in the same community. They're all friends. They don't think anything about the karaoke bar being a bar. Just follow me here. Just follow me.
And so they go down to the karaoke bar, and they're 19 or 20 or 21 years old, and they know they can't drink if they're that young. You know what I'm saying? And so they get around there, and they get to singing. And of course, they got to change their music a little bit because nobody out there in the bar wants to hear "Follow Jesus, I will follow Jesus." Yeah. Nobody wants. Now they don't mind "Amazing Grace" because everybody sings that. Yeah. "Or Shall We Gather at the River?" If I've heard that 100 times in the movies, I've heard it 100 times. And so they sing one or two of those and take our hats off, boys. It's time to sing the hymn. Now follow me, folks. And they do that. And then the next thing you know, there's a knock on the door of the group leader. And he says, "Look," he said, "we've heard about you guys. We've heard you. And I'm from Decca Records. And we'd like for y'all to come down and make a trial record." And the next thing you know, this little group started out in the church singing songs for Jesus. And no doubt, most of them got saved. They're down here. Now Branson now. They got the sequin suits and they got the bus and they're traveling all over the place. And you listen to them, they'll talk about Jesus and how he saved them and they're and that he's helped them with their talent and they're using it to. That's how it goes. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying they've taken liberties. Look here in chapter 5 of Galatians in verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So you take liberties. Well, I'm Christian. I'm going to heaven. And after all, I don't have to do everything like you do it. Danny Hall asks Doyle Lawson. He said, "Doyle," he said, "how come you sing some of the songs you sing and go out in the world?" He says, "I'm trying to be a witness for the Lord." He really believes that. Johnny Cash did too. Loretta Lynn, same thing. Say, how do you know that? I've got their testimonies. I got some of their autographs over there. I've got pictures over there in my house, autographs. When I was a country western disc jockey, I used to get their autographs. Leroy Van Dyke, Bill Mack. Talked to him personally. Leroy Van Dyke, right there in the bar room. I walked in the bar and said, I said, "Hi, Leroy," and told him my name was, and he got kind of green around the gills. Here he is in the bar, and he's talking about Jesus on the radio. You know what they're doing? Taking liberties with the gifts they've been given. You're doing it too. Yes, you are. Oh, you're not going to a bar. You're not being bad in that sense, but you're just careless with the gifts God's given you, and you don't use them for, "Well, I can't talk to anybody. That's why I don't win as much." You yak all the time. We talk about you can't talk to anybody. You're welcome. Okay. Proverbs 17. Let's move on. You're getting tired. I'm getting tired. You're going to be hungry, and I'm going to be hungry, and we need to go home. We've come to church to go home anyway, so. Proverbs 17, look at verse 8. "A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it, whether it soever it turneth, it prospereth." You can appreciate it. What's your gift worth to you? How many of you ladies in here, this is a foolish question, but just please follow me because I'm a foolish preacher. How many of you ladies in here are married? Just put them up. Married, okay. Now, how many, look at your left hand. Look at your left hand. Right, right, left. Okay, left hand. What's on this finger? What? A fake what? Oh, a diamond ring. I thought somebody said a fake ring. A diamond ring, okay. My wife's got one on. Where did you get that? Cracker Jack box. That's where I got it. I told her it's at that jewelry store there in Ann Arbor, but I lied, Dan. Yeah, how many of you ladies look at that frequently and say things like, "Why did I do that?" No. You look at that ring, right? It was more than a gift. You've paid for it many times over, Marge. It was more than a gift. But, boy, isn't that thing precious? I mean, in all honesty, I know we joke a lot, but isn't that thing precious to you? If you don't believe that, try to take it off them. I mean, most women are married, hate to even take it off and lay it down to do anything. They want to keep it on. It means something to them. Most women, now some do, but most women I know, I've said to my wife sometimes about getting something different. Well, no, she likes that one. That one says something to her that the next one won't say. Now, if you've traded yours off three or four times, don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying is, I'm trying to express to you the preciousness of that gift. You appreciate it. You appreciate it so much, you're not going to sell it. You're not going to get rid of it unless you've, you know, got rid of him. You can appreciate that. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how. You know, you ought to be so precious. Listen to this. Listen to this. And at first you're going to think, yeah, that's what I figured. But just listen to the whole story first. Newsweek reported in August of 1992 that during the 1992 Summer Olympics, all the U.S. athletes were required to wear Reebok warm-up suits at the ceremonies, award ceremonies. Charles Barkley of the U.S. basketball dream team anticipated the probability that his team would win the gold medal. He said, "Us Nike guys are loyal to Nike because they paid us a lot of money. I have 2 million reasons not to wear Reebok." Now listen to me. When it comes to being clothed with righteousness, perhaps we're too quickly to lose sight of the loyalties and appreciations of what God's done for us. Do you know what he paid for that suit that you're wearing? With his life. You can't appreciate that? You can't live a life of appreciation? You're not willing to give up some of your carnalities? You're not going to be caught dead in a Reebok when Nike's paid you big money? You know, sometimes the children of this world have more light and more wisdom. All right. 1 Corinthians 9. Next week, you can get a break next week. Next week, you get another break. But I'm telling you what, by the third Sunday, 1 Corinthians 9. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians. I've got 1 down here, but it may be 2 Corinthians. It is 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. And I even retyped that. Still got it wrong. Okay. 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Are you thankful to God for what he's done for you, the gifts he's given you? When was the last time you thanked God for your salvation? When was the last time you thanked him for what he went through for you? Isn't it interesting? You're going to have to appreciate this. The only monument in the world built in the shape of a bug to honor a bug is located in Fort Rucker, Alabama. In 1915, the Mexican boll weevil invaded southeast Alabama and destroyed 60% of the cotton crop. In desperation, the farmers turned to planting peanuts. By 1917, the peanut industry had become so profitable that the county harvested more peanuts than any other county in the nation. In gratitude, the people of the town erected a statue and inscribed these words in profound appreciation of the boll weevil. And what it has done as the herald of prosperity. The instrument of their suffering had become the instrument of blessing. When was the last time that any of us, me included, thank the Lord for the suffering you came through because of the prosperity it brought you in your Christian life. 1 Timothy 4, we're done. 1 Timothy 4, I knew I shouldn't have added a couple things here. Left alone. Paul said, verse 14, "Neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy which laying on at the hands of presbytery." Kind of what we talked about earlier. You can neglect it. But he warns and advises Timothy not to neglect it. Neglect means something that leads to decay. Decay leads to loss. Now, I know you can't lose your eternal life, but you can lose reward. Robert Schuller tells a story about a banker who always tossed a coin in a cup of a legless beggar who sat on the street outside the bank. But unlike most people, the banker would always insist on getting one of the pencils the man had. He said, "You're a merchant. I always expect to receive goods value from the merchants I do business with." One day, the legless man was not on the sidewalk. Time passed, and the banker forgot about him. Until he walked into a public building, and there in the concession stand sat the former beggar. He was obviously the owner of his own business now. "I have always hoped you might come by," he said. "You are largely the responsibility for me being here. You kept telling me I was a merchant." And I started thinking of myself that way. Instead of a beggar receiving gifts, I started selling the pencils. Lots of them. You gave me self-respect and caused me to look at myself differently. You know what's wrong with you? You've been demeaning yourself so long. You think you're a beggar and just you need a handout from God, a handout from God. And God says, "Hey, I didn't make you a beggar. I made you a merchant. You neglect it long enough?" Hebrews 2, final verse. Not necessarily the final comment, but the final verse. Verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first beginning is spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Good question. What do you suppose the day of judgment will be like for those who neglected the gifts that God gave them? We often fail to consider the gradual cumulative effects of sin. In St. Louis in 1984, an unemployed cleaning woman noticed a few bees buzzing around the attic of her home. Since there was only a few, she made no effort to deal with them. Over the summer, the bees continued to fly in and out of the attic vent, while the woman remained unconcerned, unaware of the growing city of bees. The whole attic became a hive, and the ceiling of the second floor bedroom finally caved in under the weight of hundreds of pounds of honey and thousands of angry bees. While the woman escaped serious injury, she was unable to repair the damage of her accumulated neglect. Point taken. There's going to come a time it'll be too late to repair the damage to neglect that we give to the gifts that God's given us. Father, I know that if anybody knows the needs of these people, you do. Help us all, Lord. None of us are exempt here this morning. If we're born again, if we're on our way to heaven, all of us have a response.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.